I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Good evening, Tom.
Good evening, Esther.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Oh, okay. It's lovely to have you on the podcast.
It's lovely to be here, as I normally am.
Yes, you are. You're always here, and so am I, and so is Lenny. He's here today, and he's gone to get his squeaky pepper, which is actually, what's the word?
Appropriate.
Appropriate for our podcast, because tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Tom and me are going to be making some pickled chilies.
Pickled chilies, yes.
And chilies we always make them, don't we, every year? Mm-hmm.
Yep, and they very simple to make.
Yeah.
They last, well, they don't last a long time because we eat them really quickly.
I'm just going to tell Lenny off. Hold on. No, Lenny.
That was very mild.
Well, that was
mild telling off I've ever heard in my life.
I know, but that was just a starting telling off.
A starting telling off. Okay, did it escalate from there?
So shall we go
back? On a Scoville scale,
yeah,
that would be a bell pepper. We'll explain more about that later. You might build up through with Tabasco,
yeah,
to the jalapeno, all the way up to the Naga and the Viper.
Do you think then when I go Viper crazy at him, well, that'll just be the end of the podcast, won't it?
Well, it probably will be the end of the postcode, to be honest with you.
So we always make chilli peppers, pickled chilli every year. And we first started making it because I found a lovely recipe in, I think it was the New York Times, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
And we tried lots of other recipes, but we realised that we just like those. Oh God, Lenny's going to, oh,
awesome. Right, it's up, right, it's going actually, up, it's going up now.
Yeah, that's it.
It's going up.
It's toys.
Mildly spicy.
Okay, no toys, Lenny, no. I've put his pepper away. And his Santa Claus.
The trouble is, the pepper squeaks, which ain't good when you're trying to record the podcast.
So we make this chili, pickled chili, and it's basically sugar, vinegar and mustard seeds and coriander seeds with bay leaves and lots of chilies. And every year we grow all these chilies, don't we, on the allotment.
Varieties, different varieties every year we give a go.
Yeah, and we've had hot ones.
We've had the Scotch bonnets, hot. Oof.
They were too hot, weren't they? And we've had jalapenos.
Lovely.
We've had Turkish peppers.
They were nice. We don't pickle those so much. We just eat them straight off, don't we?
Yeah. And we've had Wilko chilies.
Well, Wilko's, is that what, guys, get into that? Wilkinson's.
That's the timer.
That's the timer. Something must be done.
That's the timer for sterilising the jars to put the pickles in.
So the jars are now sterile. So we put the jars in the oven to sterilise them at about 120. Left it there for, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, and you were talking about Wilko's chili peppers.
And can we make it clear, we're not being paid by Wilkinson's. This is not paid promotion, but they are really good. They're called patio sizzlers, and they are, every year, they bring up loads and loads of small, not too hot, not too weak chilies. They're perfect, aren't they, for my palate.
I know, and for mine, because although we love chilies, we don't like them boiling hot, do we?
We don't like the hot ones. Those Scotch bonnets? Too much.
And you remember when Gloria was little and she ate chili and she sort of had like a shaking attack, didn't she? And
went, I do remember that. And I also remember the, you know, the classic Spanish pimento de padron, padroni peppers.
Yeah, we grew them one year, didn't we?
We did. Well, we grew them a couple of years. And the great thing about padroni peppers is what meant to cook them in oil and salt. And then if you eat one or two, chances are they'll be fine. But every 10 or so, you get one that's a real firecracker.
Mm.
And so the joy of padroni peppers is almost like Russian roulette. You eat the pepper, the next person eats the pepper, and whoever gets the hot one, everybody laughs at.
And that year, everything.
That year,
everyone was hot, wasn't
every
it?
Every single padroni pepper was roasting hot.
Yeah.
And we played that game for about 10 minutes, me and Gloria and you, and we were all just in large amounts of pain, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. So we didn't grow them again, did we?
No, we didn't bother again.
But you know, the problem is sometimes with these chilies and a lot of the vegetables we grow is that because of the way we are, we're both quite similar, is that we often get everything mixed up. And so actually, we don't really know what any of these chilies are, do we?
No, well, I have been known to just bung them all into a pan and turn them all into chili sauce because I don't know which ones are hot ones and which ones aren't. And that way, at least, you know, you've got the overall taste of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can make it, you can dilute it back, if you will, with sort of tomatoes and tomatillos.
Well, it's true. But I think if we were to tell everybody what these chilies were on the chopping board, we don't really know, do we?
I can remember.
I know one of them, these Wilco's. Ones. There's Wilco's. I know these are jalapenos peppers. And they're yummy. And
Sophia,
she's very nice. She's very spicy. But aren't they lovely? Like, they're so decorative, aren't they?
They are beautiful plants.
I wonder why people, like, decorate things with chilies then. Can you tell me a bit about chilies, Tom?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about chilies, I guess.
So where did chilies come from,
Where on earth do they come from? They originate from Central South America. So I think down Bolivia, almost somewhere like that. It was, that's probably wrong. But
it don't matter if you get mixed up on this podcast.
Facts don't matter.
I think people do expect us to get a little bit of things wrong and they might have to do a fact
check. What I can tell you...
They might give us a fact check at the end. If we were on Netflix now, it'd be good, wouldn't
it?
You could be the new Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
Couldn't you?
I could be. I'm just not bald enough.
Yeah, but you could. For if somebody offered you that much money, though, would you shave your head and get the glasses like Stanley?
I certainly would. I'd even have some sort of...
Would you be able to talk like him?
No, I can't, because it only comes out like that.
I'm not saying I've run off with Stanley Tucci.
No, you're not saying that per se, but...
If I had a chance to go and eat some chilli pasta with arrabbiata with a tomato sauce and garlic, if Stanley offered that to me and one of his cocktails, then I probably would go for it.
Now, I may not have the glasses, I may still have my hair, and I may not be handsome... But I can make a cocktail.
Oh, Tom, have you got me a cocktail for tonight?
Well, yeah, because I was thinking, you know...
Lenny's going crazy, by the way. That's what the noise is. She's throwing another toy in the air. And I'm going to... No, Lenny, you're not throwing it. That's it. That's his ropey toy now.
He's losing all. It's like the teacher's desk, isn't it? All confiscated catapults.
So you're going to make a cocktail.
I am going to make a cocktail. And I thought, as it's chilies, I'll make something spicy. And the obvious thing was like a Bloody Mary or something. But I thought, no. I recently went on tour with my band in Spain.
Yeah.
And we played in Valencia. And the guy supporting us was called Scott Byron, American guy.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely fella. And we were discussing how great the food was. Yeah. Really lovely food. The promoters were marvellous. Got us the best food. But Spanish beer, meh. And Scott is from America.
Yeah.
The southern part of America. And down there we drink a lot of Michelada, which is a Mexican beer cocktail.
Ooh, and a beer cocktail.
It is, yeah. And the great thing about Michelada is you can put almost anything in it and call it Michelada. So one we had when we were out in Spain, it was like, he called it his emergency Michelada, which was just tomato juice, beer, and lime. That was it. It's something you can buy everything from a supermarket or even a convenience store, whack it together.
So is that what we're going to have?
No, we're going to have something a little more upmarket.
Oh, come on then. Now, I'm feeling posh. I've got a dahlia in my hair.
I'm going to move round to the cocktail preparing wing.
We've got everything set up on the table.
We have.
We've got, because chilies are from Mexico, well, that's where I thought they were from, and so I've got all my dahlias, which are from Mexico as well. I picked so many dahlias today and millions of peppers, and I've got a dahlia in my hair. So we've got like a Mexican kitchen here.
We have.
And then Tom's got his cocktail glasses.
The cocktail glasses.
And he's made a real effort for me, haven't you?
I always make a real effort. Always. This cocktail, Michelada, it's part Bloody Mary, part just beer.
Ooh, nice.
And so we've got lime juice.
Yeah.
We've got soy sauce.
Ooh.
We've got Worcester sauce.
Yeah.
And we've got chilli sauce.
Oh, nice.
Now, I can't remember. This is actually not brandy, but it's a hot chilli sauce. And we've got some beer.
Yeah.
The thing is, you're meant to use it... I hate to say this, but you're meant to use it with bad beer. Really. Oh. It's a way of making bad beer taste...
Oh, God. Well, this is Beat Brewery beer.
I know. This is one of my favourite beers. So I hope... To all hopes, this isn't going to be a waste of a very, very good beer.
Oh, God, I hope not.
And I've salted the rims of a glass. We've got lime on the edge of a glass, just for that authentic Mexican tourist thing.
Do you think Beat Brewery will be horrified that we're turning their...
Well, it depends. We'll find out in about 3 minutes, won't we, when we've tried it. Because,
we love different breweries, don't we, Tom?
We do.
And Beat Brewery is one of our favourites down in Lewis.
Yep, a lovely place. And
do you think
nice people and brilliant beer.
Well, I hope they do one of these cocktails if it's good.
It's good. Now, it doesn't look delightful. Ooh. So I've poured a mixture, which I made earlier, of lime juice, Worcester sauce, soy sauce, a bit of black pepper.
So basically gravy stock.
And most importantly, chilli sauce.
I wish you'd not told me what went into it, actually. It does sound like
give it a go.
Gravy.
Give it a go.
Well, cheers, Tom. And
cheers, Ed.
Here's to the podcast.
Here's to chilies. Right. Here we go.
Not sure about that. What do you think?
It's got a lot of flavours going on. Perhaps too much.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, Tom, I do think it might... tart up a sort of...
Yeah, a boring beer.
A boring beer, but I think it's ruined this Beat Brewery beer. What do you think? It has ruined it. Let's move on.
Let's move on. That was good.
While you're telling me a few facts, I'm going to be just cutting off some of the leaves and stuff. Actually, I've got my scissors here, so I'm going to do it with the scissors. I hope these aren't the scissors that you use to cut your tree root toenails, are they?
No.
They are, Sam.
Oh, right.
Have you boiled them?
I've boiled them and sterilised them. I'll put them in with the jars.
Did you boil them for a week? Because I don't
at least a week.
I don't want any toenail crumbs on these.
No, there's no toenail crumbs on our chilies.
Because it might help with the ferment, but it's not a good look.
Not a good look or a good taste. So, chilies, right? So chilies. Think back to pre-Columbus.
Oh, God. Tom, that gravy beer made me do a burp. Sorry.
I noticed.
Sorry.
So, what was chili used in... cookie-wise in Mexico and the like?
Well, I think it was used... This is what I'm thinking. It was used, like, to keep, you know, to make things that didn't taste nice, to keep them, give them a bit of flavour. So if, like, when we ate that corn smut, that fungus that was on the sweet corn, you know, because actually we did eat it, but it tasted pretty... rank. It didn't have any flavour, did it?
No, it didn't have enough flavour.
So if we'd added some chilli to it, it would have tasted okay.
The trouble is with cooking, then a lot of things you just get with chillies and nothing else.
Yeah.
Because that's my thing with chillies, you have to use them very subtly in my book. Anyway. Yeah, but also they put in chocolate, hot chocolate.
Oh,
so the drink, the original drink of chocolate, which wasn't sweet,
yeah,
it was flavoured with chilli. So all this sort of chilli chocolate, which has come out in the last few years,
yeah,
I mean, that's just carrying on tradition that's centuries, if not millennia, old.
God, that's so interesting, isn't it? Yeah. What, just because they really married well together?
Yeah, and they do, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Unlike big brewery beer and my Michelada mix.
No, in fact, you know what? You're so good at making cocktails, but that is the worst cocktail you've ever made. Yeah. This is the sound. I'm actually pouring my cocktail away. Sorry, Tom.
Okay.
I'm just going to have a normal beer.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, Christopher Columbus.
Yeah.
Colonises, invades.
Kills lots of native.
Of course. Americans. Kills loads of natives.
Killed most of them in the whole country. Yeah.
Yeah, and entire populations of people were wiped out, like the original Caribs and what have you from the Caribbean.
Yeah.
No longer exist.
Yeah.
But,
God.
On the plus side, he brought back chilies. And it was kind of an instant hit. So it went round Europe very quickly.
Yeah.
So the Italian cooking adapted it very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's become a staple of a lot of European cooking, like goulash and things like that. You think of. Not so much in Britain, though. It never really did in Britain.
Why do you think that is,
then? Well, it had to come almost second... Probably because we would have regarded it as foreign muck. But then, the other way, across the Pacific, Portuguese traders were taking chilies over to Asia.
Yeah.
And then it was becoming ingrained in Asian cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Britain owned India... Mm-hmm. As for Raj, again, millions of people killed, chaos, destruction. Mm-hmm. But at least we got curries out of it.
Yeah.
The curries came back with the people who were working and living in Raj as a popular dish. We wouldn't taste anything Italian or Spanish or anything like that, but we'd have something from Raj because that was us. That was our empire. Do you know when the first Indian restaurant opened in Britain?
No, when was it?
Can you guess?
Oh, gosh, that's a difficult one, because I didn't actually go to an Indian restaurant until I was about 15.
15?
Wow. But, I mean, my mum had a boyfriend from Pakistan. I know that's not India, but that's when I first had a curry, a spicy curry that he made.
Well,
he used to make so many fabulous spicy curries.
Just most Indian restaurants in Britain aren't actually owned by Indians, they're owned by Bangladeshis.
Yeah.
Because that's where people came from. Carry on. Yep.
Yeah. So when did the first Indian restaurant open? About 1970?
1809.
Oh!
1809. And it's only through looking this up that I found this out. And it's somebody I really want to find out more about.
Not in Nottingham they didn't, I don't think.
Not in Nottingham, anyway. No. Yeah. No. It was called the Hindustan Coffee House.
Oh!
Which is sounds very nice. 1809. And there's a review of it. Do you want to hear a nice review?
Yeah.
The dishes were dressed in curry powder, rice, cayenne, and the best spices of Arabia.
Oh.
That sounds nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A room was set apart for smoking hookahs with oriental herbs.
God, that must have been amazing.
1809, so there was right old rollicking parties going on.
Wow. Well, I suppose there is something about hot spices and chilli, isn't it? It's like, it's almost quite a macho thing, you know, like people still want to sort of show that they can eat the hottest curry.
It's true. And the hottest curry,
strange, isn't it?
Is actually a British invention, a pharl, because it's, you know, a lot of the curries you would never actually find in India, not the sort of British cuisine curry. The pharl, which is meant to be the hottest curry you can actually make. You know, if they chuck everything but the kitchen sink at it. And there's nothing like it in India.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing. It's like a British invention, a bit like chicken tikka corn, chicken tikka masala, and the balti. It's all completely British invention. But, like you say, it's a very sort of macho, masculine...
Why do you think that is, then?
Well, it hurts.
Yeah.
That's why. It hurts, but it can't kill you. You know, that's the whole point. And I don't know, I think someone once came up with a theory that you get the pain, it releases endorphins. But somebody came up with a theory that it's like a roller coaster ride. It's controlled risk. Mm. So you're risking something. You're risking what feels like your life. But of course it isn't. Because all it's going to do is make your mouth feel like it's on fire and your bum feel like it's on fire the next day.
Well, it does actually. You do get that ring of fire when you're in the toilet, don't you?
A bum like a Japanese flag, I believe it's called in Madrid.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when... I don't know whether... I remember me and Jane went to a Vietnamese restaurant and we had this... we had lots of chilies there and it was so spicy. And the next morning, we did have the ring of fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I but remember you complaining about that. Yes. Yeah,
I'll never forget that ring of fire.
Well, yeah.
It was sort of a thrill in a way to have a ring of fire, just for the day.
Just for a day. Yeah, you wouldn't like it forever. Just for a day.
Anyway, we're going off the track in many ways, aren't we?
I noticed while we're talking, you are trimming these chili peppers, so you're getting over foliage off.
Tom, can you on this podcast be macho? And
God.
Could you try a chili?
I can.
All right.
I will, just for... Yeah.
Just to be like, this is the sort of thing that sort of macho people do now.
Well, they have TV programmes, don't they? Man versus Food and things, where people try
to... So how hot do you think this chili is?
Not very, that one.
Do you want to try it?
Okay. All right. So this is, I think, one of the Wilko's ones.
So it's about... 3 centimetres long. It's quite narrow and it's very red.
Yeah.
It's quite dark red, actually, isn't it?
Do you have to bite it in half, or swallow it?
No, you've got to bite it and chew it. Go on then, let's see. Ooh.
Yeah, it's hot.
How hot is it? Ooh. What do you think?
This is about as hot as I can take, but it's not making me cry. It's actually... It's not too bad. So it takes a while because you get
Shall
the sweetness
I try
first.
Then?
Oh, it's not crunchier.
Oh my God, it's so hot. Oh, quick. Oof. Oh, Tom, I should have not done that.
So milk is meant to be
right.
A good way of getting rid of a chilli taste. So let's see if it does.
Oh, gosh.
Because mine's gone right down now. It's not too bad. It was a...
Oh, actually, the milk does help.
Oh, in which case.
Anyway, that's good. But don't rub it on your willy.
Well, I've heard tell, and I have done that before.
What, you've rubbed it on your own willy?
Not rubbed it on my own willy. Jesus Christ. I think you would have known that about me if I was that sort of... Yeah, if I was that way inclined. No.
Just imagine...
I've been chopping chilies when a gentleman answers a call of nature.
Yeah.
A certain amount of hand to gland interaction has to go on. And yeah, it does.
Did you dip it in milk after?
Yeah, that milk you just drank.
Anyway, it's made my nose run. Right, moving on. So we've got the I've actually gone a bit hot now. I don't know whether it's just the topic of conversation, but it is quite spicy, isn't it? So we're not going to chop all these now. We're going to sort of like pretend that we've chopped them all. Oh, look, Tom, we've chopped a mountain of chilli.
My, that's huge. I can't
In
get
fact,
through the door. With so many
we've chopped 500 grams of chillies, and we're going to add 65 millilitres of cider vinegar and 65 millilitres of water, or thereabouts. We're going to add a teaspoon of salt, a teaspoon of mustard, and a teaspoon of coriander seeds and 2 bay leaves and 40 grams of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to boil all that together. Can you hear it boiling? That's it, it's bubbling up quite nice, the sugar's dissolved, and we're just going to do all that dissolved, and we've chopped all the chilies up really, really finely, and we've put them into the sterilised jar, like you heard the timer off go off before, and then we're just going to pour the liquid on top, and that's it. Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt.
Absolutely. Lock them up.
Lock them up. Yeah, a couple of weeks or even a few days, they'll be ready. In fact, they'll be ready in a couple of days, then you know they store in the cupboard for a couple of months, don't they? But we always eat them well before that. In fact, we eat them in a week, don't we? You think we sound a bit macho now? We've swallowed half a chili, aren't we? That's what's done to us.
That's right. You're growing a beard. I'm going to turn my microphone off now and pretend that I'm not here.
All right then, bye Tom.
Goodbye.
I love you, bye.
Bye.
And I'll call you up whenever I'm feeling down.
Queen Bees is written and created by Esther Coles and Jane Horrocks. It is produced by Claire Broughton, Andy Goddard and John Wakefield. and partly recorded at the Hives on my allotment near Crouch End in London. Our title music is Sweet Nothing by Amy Mae Ellis and Will Cookson. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Queen Bees Pod for pictures and videos from the Hive. Queen Bees is a hat trick podcast. It feels so good just to have you around.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.